This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As ISIS claims responsibility for the Brussels bombings, here's a question. How do news stories linking Muslims with terrorism impact the way we think of all Muslims? University of Michigan Assistant Professor of Communication Mundiba Salim and her fellow researchers wanted to find the answer. The result is their study, Exposure to Muslims in Media and Support for Public Policy Harming Muslims. Mundiba Salim, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for inviting me.
So just what questions did you want to answer with your study?
So in this research study, we were interested in understanding how exposure to terrorism news would influence Americans' perceptions of Muslims and subsequently influence support for public policies that are harming Muslims, both internationally and domestically.
And you did your study actually in three separate phases?
That's right. So we were interested in both what we consider long-term effects and then short-term effects, which are oftentimes known as priming effects. And what we found is that across the three studies, across different samples from different age groups and different populations, exposure to terrorism news increases perceptions of Muslims as aggressive, which then increases support for public policies which are harming Muslims, both internationally and domestically. And we're talking about public policies internationally, for example, support for military action in Muslim countries. And domestically, we're talking about public policies such as separate and more thorough airport security lines for Muslims, having harsher civil restrictions for them, such as having databases where they're under surveillance without their consent and their knowledge, and even severe policies which are unconstitutional, such as their right to vote, revoking that. So we found that Americans are likely to support this if they are exposed to a lot of terrorism news. And this relationship is really explained by their perceptions of Muslims as aggressive and violent.
And I'm betting that your findings did not surprise you, the fact that news stories about Muslims as terrorists are fueling anger and racism.
They didn't surprise us to one extent, but I think they did surprise us when we found that it's increasing support for civil restrictions for American citizens that are of Muslim faith. I think that was very shocking for us to realize that American citizens are not able to differentiate people that are far away from them versus those that are their neighbors, perhaps.
And then when we hear, for example, political statements, we have Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz calling for more law enforcement and more monitoring of Muslim neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think it just goes with the rhetoric that we're seeing, which is simply that if this is the only representation that we have of this group in the media, and we know that the majority of Americans say that they have no daily contact with members of this group, then void of that contact, void of any other positive information, this is all that we know of this group. And so, of course, it's going to affect the way that we perceive members of this group that have nothing to do with these attacks.
And last fall, when Donald Trump called for what at that point he said, quote, a total and complete shutdown of letting Muslims enter the U.S. And then polls after that found 59% of Republicans basically said, hey, good idea. I support that. So this is really what you're talking about in your study.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime we see these kinds of attacks and we see an incredible amount of coverage over those attacks, we're going to see Americans basically reaffirming their earlier perceptions that all members of this particular group are aggressive and violent. And so we should have policies that are treating members of this group differently than other Americans. And I think that, you know, a lot of this has to do with just the way that we're representing members of this group in the media, the fact that there isn't any, forget positive, even neutral representation of this group in mainstream media.
Mundiba, what do you propose news organizations should do, for example, when covering, let's say, the attacks in Brussels, as we see the news coverage play out? How do you present what has happened without getting into the names and the affiliations of the perpetrators?
I think the key is not necessarily suggesting that we shouldn't talk about these attacks because, of course, they've happened and they are affiliated with this particular radical group. However, I think the more important point is, outside of these attacks, how are we representing this group in general? Do we ever talk about them in a more positive way? For example, members of the Muslim community provided here in Michigan water bottles to their Flint neighbors and donated over $100,000 to the Detroit Water Fund and Wayne Metro Community Action Agency to aid those with past due water bills in Detroit. How much coverage did we see of something like that in our mainstream media? Or the fact that Fatima Knight and Dr. Faisal Qazi, both who are Muslim Americans, raised thousands of dollars for victims of the Charleston church shooting and the San Bernardino attacks. But did we see coverage of that in mainstream media? So void of those things, if all that we're seeing in the media is this negative representation, and then we have very infrequent contact with members of this group, the majority of Americans, then we're presenting a very one-sided view of what this group is all about. And I think that's the key. And even in our one of our studies, we found that a very simple 2-minute news clip depicting this group in a positive manner actually reduced perceptions of Muslims as aggressive and subsequently reduced support for public policies that are harming members of this group. So that tells you that actually media has a lot of power, both negative and positive. If we just have more balanced representations or more positive representations, you wouldn't see these kinds of effects that we're finding.
I'm interested, Muniba, in your thoughts on the difference in coverage and reaction around the world to a terror attacks by Islamic groups. For example, there's been much outpouring of support for Brussels and for Paris, but there have also been recently deadly terror attacks in Turkey, the Ivory Coast, for instance. They haven't gotten the same global resonance. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it goes along with this rhetoric that we are promoting in our media. But it also, I think the audience also has to think about what they attend to more, what grabs their attention more. You're absolutely right that Muslims are actually the victims of a lot of these ISIS attacks and brutalities. Like you said, there's attacks in Lebanon and Syria, and there's attacks in Turkey in which Muslims themselves are being victimized. But to what extent are media, mainstream American media, talking about those incidents? And then to what extent are Americans attending to those incidents? I think those are the kinds of questions that we need to be thinking about. And then subsequently, to what extent that coverage or that lack of coverage is ultimately influencing our opinions about this larger group.
So what do you hope might come from this research that you and your research partners have done? I mean, I'm wondering what should news organizations take away from this?
I think there's two important points. One, when we think about the negative effects, is that certainly these kinds of news coverage are affecting our larger perceptions and actually are affecting our public policies, support for those public policies. So I think that's one takeaway, that we're not just taking in this information in isolation. We're actually having this affect our larger perceptions and even our support for policies. And I think the second lesson based on the third study is simply that if that rhetoric was different, if the news was neutral or positive, we would actually see the opposite effect. And so that tells us that balanced coverage will actually reduce these kinds of effects. If we had more coverage on these populations for the kinds of incidents that I mentioned, we would perhaps see maybe less support for these kinds of policies that we're seeing a lot in media right now.
And the lesson for the viewing and the news-consuming public, the media-consuming public?
I think the public, you know, we can't possibly just blame the media for what they're covering. They're basically covering what the public wants to attend to. So I think for the viewers and the audience, it's important to remember that what the news may be covering is one side of the story. And there's another side that is either not being covered or is being ignored, perhaps because you, the audience, is not interested in that kind of news. And so going out of your way to find alternative sources of information that provide that information, or simply knowing that this isn't the complete story.
I think about what history has taught us, and I feel like there are echoes of this that date back to World War II and the public's attitudes toward Japanese Americans, where people were yanked out of their homes and put in internment camps because of what people were perceiving was happening in the Pacific Theater.
Sure. I've talked to a lot of different, you know, Muslim scholars and individuals who often say that it doesn't really help us feel better when we say that these policies are unconstitutional and they'll never be enacted, because exactly in right after Pearl Harbor, what we saw is Americans supporting policies for Japanese Americans that were unconstitutional. But we did end up following through those policies. And so it doesn't really help, you know, the Muslim American citizens here by telling them, well, it'll never actually go through. We have history telling us that actually at times of war, at times of certain political rhetoric, people are in support of these very unconstitutional policies.
Muniba Salim is an assistant professor of communication at the University of Michigan, where she's also with the Institute for Social Research. She was the lead author on the study, Exposure to Muslims in Media and Support for Public Policy Harming Muslims. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much.